From the Art Center in downtown Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning and thanks for tuning us in. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theatre, brought to you by the historic Carolina Theatre of Durham as well as the Apex Arts Council. Today's show is all about celebrating the 10th anniversary of WCOM 103.5 FM. It's been around for a while at this point, and I'm going to be picking Rocco's brain because he's practically one of the historians here. But we also have in studio special guest Ronnie Brown, who's bluegrass musician, singer, songwriter. We're going to get some cuts off his album, Here It Is, in which he's holding bluegrass on the cover. I asked him if he could smoke it, but he wouldn't tell me. Anyway, so we're going to be talking to him about some, I think he's got three new songs coming out. Good morning there, buddy.
Good morning.
I'm going to get up with you in a moment. And also got Will Williams, who's going to catch us up some more on the movie No Child. Morning, Will.
Good morning, Claudio. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Thanks for being here. And, of course, Rocco at the helm, so we can't go wrong.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Claudio.
I'm going to open up with just a little bit of questions about your new songs. You've got a few new albums, or not new albums, but new songs on an album that you're building. Want to give us a quick scoop on those? Because we can actually play one of those cuts before we go into the 10th celebration or 10th year celebration of WCOM 103.5.
Well, the first one on there is one that that I got from an Australian, and I changed it to bluegrass. I took some of the words, and two and three is a couple that I have written. Two is one that I wrote from my memory as a young fella on the farm, you know. Uh-huh. And number three was written about a ferry that crossed Cape Fear River.
I remember that one. We actually walked the trail, yeah.
Yes.
But give us all three titles.
Number one is Willie McBride. Number two is Here in the Future. Number three is The Ferry.
So why don't we go to Willie McBride just as an opening tune, and then I'll ease on into what the celebration today is all about.
From Chapel Hill in Carrboro, you're listening to Community Radio, WCOM.
I've been walking all day and I'm nearly done. I can see by your gravestone you were only 19 when you joined the great fall of 1916. I hope you died quick and I hope you died clean. Young Willie McBride, was it slow and obscene? Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the pipe slowly? Did the sound of death march as it lowered you down? Did the band play the last waltz and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the pipe slowly? Did the sound of death march as it lowered you down? Did the band play the last waltz and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? Drum slowly, did they play the pipe slowly? Did the sound of death has marked has lowered you down. Did the band play the last waltzing chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest?
And that was Ronnie Brown performing his rendition of Willie McBride. He's in the studio with us here today, but we're going to go back to him a little later on.
The world of science is endlessly fascinating, and some of the world's most significant science is going on right here in the Triangle. This is Ernie Hood. Join me Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Radio In Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science Community, right here on WCOM LP FM.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater here on WCOM. We hope you're having a good morning. Now back to Claudio.
And believe it or not, I'm going to go back to Rocco, because Rocco, you're practically a WCOM historian. I've only been here for about 5 years. You've been here for 10. So well, take us back to what we're celebrating basically this week.
I've been involved with the station for almost 12 years now.
Goodness, okay.
And we went on the air in November 10 years ago, whatever year that was, 2003 or 4, I believe. And,
right.
And the station went on the air with a tape that was primarily music, along with Bob Burtman, Triangle Slim, giving a monologue of what WCOM was going to become.
Ah.
And that played for maybe a month or two. The monologue maybe was 2 or 3 minutes, and then it was music afterwards. Mm. But every hour or every 2 hours, you would hear Bob speak about WCOM and upcoming things with the station. And that was 10 years ago this month, I believe. Actually, the monologue, now that I think about it, Claudio and Ronnie and Will, the monologue, I think, went on in August or September, and the first live show was in November, and we're celebrating that this month.
In November. And, of course, we also have a fundraiser coming up on Thursday from 5 to 10 p.m. at, what is the name of that tavern?
Hickory Tavern.
Hickory Tavern.
Right here in the Hampton Inn Hotel in Carrboro, which is right behind us here at the studio.
Right, where you can actually meet hosts of various radio shows. And
exactly.
I'm told 10% of all sales go to WCOM.
It's going to come to COM. But thinking about it now, Bob made the tape, and it was first put on, I believe, in August or September. And it just ran for a couple months. And then the first person to go on the air live was Bob Burtman. And I believe that was in November. And then Fred Wasser and myself followed Bob a few weeks later.
Did you follow with the same show you're doing now, or did you change format?
Basically, my show is the same, and it was
tell
music.
Tell us what your show is.
My show is on Saturday morning from 9 until 12 noon. It used to be on from 8 until 11. We've changed it over the years, but basically it was from 9 in the morning till 12 noon, and I just play popular music, the best popular music from all eras and all genres.
Give us the name of the show.
Music Hall.
Music
we used
Hall,
to call it Saturday Morning Music Hall.
Ah, okay. And I knew there was some change, and I couldn't remember what it was.
So in the last 10 years, I've done 520 shows, I guess, whatever it is. I did the 500th show back in August.
Yes, we celebrated that on the show.
That's right.
Speakeasy.
So for a while, Bob, Fred, and myself, Fred Wasser, who has a show called Breathing Room, Jazz and the Standards, we were the only three people on this station live. But, of course, we always had the live feed. That was a pre-recorded show or something that we purchased
right.
and bought, whether it was music or Democracy Now! Or a number of other shows that would fill in when no one was on the air live.
What we call Simeon.
We call it Simeon, and we still have that.
Right.
And as I was explaining to Will earlier this morning, if no one showed up here to do your show, or if you didn't come in to do the show, the simian or the computer would take over and just run. And the computer is programmed to run for approximately 7 days. And no one could come in here and do a show for 7 days, and that computer will have something going out over the air.
To make sure we don't have dead air. And, of course, you can also program if a host of a particular radio show wanted to replay a show he'd done weeks
exactly.
ago, months ago, whatever, that could be programmed
that
into the system.
That could be programmed
instead.
In. Yeah. And then it would stay in the computer until it was changed or someone came in to do your show at that time mm-hmm. by fading down the simian and going on the air live like we just did at 10 o'clock.
Well, I want to go back and forth about WCOM today since we're celebrating the anniversary, but I want to give a special acknowledgement to someone I've enjoyed very, very much throughout the years. And I understand he died today or may have been last night, and that was Tom, one of the brothers on Car Talk. So we're no longer going to have those two affectionate brothers. I think beyond the mechanics of that particular show, I think what people loved listening to most were two brothers that really, really cared for each other.
I think they were nicknamed Click and Clack.
Yes, they were.
And they were on for about 25 years with this Car Talk.
I had no idea there was a serious situation going on and that we just lost one of them. So I'm dedicating today's show to Tom as well as the 10th anniversary.
Millions
of
listeners over the years
oh my
across
God.
The country.
Just loved everywhere. It's unbelievable. I heard that in the news this morning. I was blown away because there was no news of anything leading up to this. It's just all of a sudden.
Well, when they came on the air on NPR 25 or 26, 27 years ago, there had never been a show like that.
No.
In the country that was nationally broadcast. And it just went over and they became known throughout the United States.
To me, for some reason, their humor, just their sort of self-deprecating humor, kind of reminded me a little bit of the Three Stooges. And I'm sure they took some inspiration from those guys because
probably
Click and Clack just seemed to play into that genre. But I still love that show, and I'm sure the remaining brother will continue it. I understand they're going to do a special. This is it Saturday that it comes on?
I think Saturday.
They're doing a special NPR show.
Is going to feature him. And I understand that they will still be running those old shows for maybe another year
as well.
So
they should.
It just depends, I guess, on the listenership.
What a sad loss for radio.
Really. You know, radio, they say, Claudio, has more listeners today than it's ever had, simply because there's more people and more ways to listen to the radio.
Well, that's actually encouraging because radio actually gets you thinking a little, unlike television.
It does.
Which tries to serve everything on a silver platter.
Anything new in your world, Claudio?
Other than just sort of anticipating what's happening with the film No Child, which Will is going to tell us. It's his baby. He's going to catch us up on. Just sort of waiting for things evolving there and lining up some additional voice work and working on some of my own scripts.
You know, Claudio, another thing about this station, WCOM, we have a number of people here who have worked in commercial radio or national public radio mm-hmm. or other venues where they've been on the air before. But I've always been saying that even though we've been on the air now over 10 years in some way or another, in some capacity, we're really just getting started.
In many ways, yes.
And I think 20 years from now, 30 years from now, I think the station will still be here in some capacity, but it will be unrecognizable, and I think it'll be more and better than it is now for the community and the area of the Triangle.
I can see it becoming a lot more like professional radio.
And
even to some extent bringing back some of what radio used to be.
That's right.
The dynamic aspect.
The live aspect, the aspect where it's local. You have local people in this community on the air. Some of them coming from other areas in the Triangle area, and it's really just getting started.
Absolutely.
If you look at WUNC 50 years ago, the only thing they were doing was playing classical music.
True.
And look at how National Public Radio came into the realm.
Absolutely.
And now UNC is a huge, powerful station that is part of the National Public Radio system, And it's unrecognizable compared to what it was 50 years ago.
Also, remember a couple of years ago, they took a poll and WCOM came in runner-up to WUNC as best independent radio in the Triangle.
That's right. So we don't know how many people we have listening. We would have to pay to have that service done for the station. But at this stage, knowing how many listeners we have would not change the station that much dramatically.
I wouldn't think so.
It just wouldn't. So we're using the money in other venues, other areas, to keep the station strong and on the air and good.
And, of course, the 10th anniversary celebration at the Tavern is about raising some funds to improve certain aspects of WCOM. We need some more studio equipment and things of that nature, so it's all going to go to a very good cause.
We need as many people in our area to come out Thursday night from 5 in the evening until 10 o'clock to come to the Hickory Tavern and meet people that are involved in all different ways with this station and have something to eat, have something to drink, and 10% of all of that money is going to go to this station.
You'll be supporting a worthy cause.
They will be, and you'll get a chance to maybe meet some of these people you hear on the radio.
Well, why don't we go to another Ronnie Brown tune, and then I'll talk to Ronnie for a minute.
Stranger in the future, mules are calling, the barn is falling down. There's an air conditioner on the tractor, and old friends are hard to be found. About the Depression era, CC camps and where they were, and hard times in 1932. When Saturday night would come around, we'd get in the car and go to town. Watch the cowboys on the silver screen. Tommy D would ride old Dan to paradise to see Miss Ann, prettiest woman that I've ever seen. Things, you're a stranger in the future. The mules are gone and the barn has fallen down. There's an air conditioner on the tractor, and old friends are hard to be found.
Beauty, freedom, country, family. They're the values that make America strong and what our armed forces are fighting to defend. While many talk about these ideals without action, they are just empty words. If you think America's military families deserve more, log on to thanksusa.org. It's a great way to thank our troops and give military families the gift of education. thanksusa.org. scholarships for America's military families, you can make a difference.
All the radio you'll ever need is community radio, WCOM, 103.5 FM, and online at WCOMFM.org. Now back to Claudio.
And the tune you just heard was from our own bluegrass maestro, Ronnie Brown, and it was Here in the Future. This is one of his own songs. And why don't you cue us in? I kind of like the flavor that inspired this.
When I was little, we were still farming with mules. And now farmers have big tractors, air conditions, GPS systems. And I feel like I'm living in the future.
That's where it came from.
That's where the song came from, yeah.
Gotcha. You know, I was discussing with you earlier on the way in here that Raleigh seems to be becoming the new hub for bluegrass.
Oh, yeah.
Can you cue us into any of that scenario? I'm kind of intrigued by how it came to sort of take roots here.
Well, it's IBMA, International Bluegrass Music Association.
Okay. What made them pick Raleigh?
I don't know how they do that. I don't know, but I know Raleigh has it for 4 more years.
Really? Oh, so it's only a segment of time? Because I was speaking to my friends at Memorial Auditorium, which is another place I freelance, or now Progress Energy Entertainment Center, pardon me, or Duke, is it? Duke. And they were telling me that it seems to be catching a pretty natural groove over there. They get the impression that it's the new hub.
It's a big deal. Yes.
Yeah. I know it's a stampede every year when they show up. A
lot of bluegrass music played around Raleigh and this area.
Now, what did you mean by 4 years? What is that cycle?
They have won it, however they do that, for 4 more years.
I see. Okay.
And they could possibly get it after that. I don't know how they do that. But
the rumor has it that, you know, it's going to become the new home of bluegrass. We'll see.
I hope so.
Yeah, it looks like they're getting a lot of support.
Yes.
So what else is – we're going to play one more of your tunes of this new collection, which is an album you're still in the process of building. But any idea what the album title is going to be and what it's going to involve?
No, I haven't decided. I have some more written, but I'll just have to wait and see. I haven't really thought about a title.
And are you playing with the same musicians every time or different musicians every time?
Pretty much the same.
Pretty much the same guys.
One of the guys that played banjo died. His name was Greg Corbett, 41 years old.
My goodness.
Just a great guy.
That's too young.
Yes.
Greg Corbett.
Yeah.
And what did he play?
He played banjo.
Banjo, okay. Mm-hmm. Was that the only instrument? Because most of your guys play several.
Well,
like
that,
you.
That was his main instrument,
gotcha.
Yes. He played with Country Gentlemen, Charlie Wallen,
right.
Country Gentlemen, and then he played with us on that album.
I know you teach banjo and guitar, right?
I teach banjo.
Banjo mostly,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I play guitar, but I teach banjo.
Interesting. Of course, you said you used to play banjo quite a bit yourself.
I did.
Now, what's it like teaching banjo when you're not playing as avidly as you used to?
You know, it's great. I love it. I really enjoy it.
You still got the dexterity?
Yeah, especially when I am teaching somebody, you know, that really catches on easily.
Good.
And it's great.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, I'm glad you're out there teaching it. And I'm going to get back to you on some more questions about bluegrass, and eventually we're going to play something off your actual album called Here It Is, with you holding some bluegrass and reaching to the guy looking at the album cover.
Right.
And you can't smoke it, folks. Sorry.
No.
But I'm going to bounce over to Will in just a minute, but first we're going to go to the third song, your third original. Give us the title, Dad.
Okay, that's The Ferry.
The Ferry. I like this one.
You're tuned to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Thank you.
place where they would stop along the way. When travelers would come, the ferry would run. Slowly across the river they would ride. From the bank some would view a riverboat passing through. They've all come and gone now to the other side.
All right, given that today is voting day, I'm just going to speak my piece very, very briefly. I'm absolutely appalled with both parties, so take that to your vote. That's just something I had to let out. I just think that they are not, no longer serving their constituencies, but they're serving each other like two damn football games going at each other. And I think it needs to stop. That's my take. You guys take it from there. I'm going to shoot over to Will Williams here, star of the movie No Child, in which I had the privilege of playing Ernest Hemingway, and I had great fun with that part. But he's going to catch us up on what's happening with the movie. I know it's due for a world premiere, and I think that's about, a month away or so?
Yeah, we're over the past month or so, we've been working really hard with the final touches of everything. Everything was already really good, but yeah. You know how it's kind of like a quote I heard about an author writing a novel. A novel is never truly finished, only abandoned. So you can...
Hemingway said that.
Yeah, you can work on a project and keep on trying to fine-tune it,
yeah.
But at some point you have to just let it out into the world. And we're looking for a world premiere in the beginning of 2015. So right now, we're sending it out to different festivals, the biggest ones out there, looking to...
And when does that action actually take off? Are they in process now, or are they coming up?
We've probably sent out to five or so,
mm-hmm.
And there's dozens more we'd like to send out to. But
and of course, you guys all went to the Cannes Film Festival, which is a pretty big step for anybody in the movie business. I'd say you've received your baptism,
right?
Even Hollywood has to go there. So
yeah. So we know that'll really help as far as this premiere.
As far as getting circulation in general for anything you
right.
do, really.
Absolutely.
So bravo on that note. So are you leaning towards working on anything else right now? Is your energy pretty focused on seeing this baby through?
All the energy right now is on No Child.
Yeah, I can totally understand that.
And then once the world premiere happens, then it's going to be focusing on...
Whatever can come next. Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, give us a little clue, cue us into, I know you're going to change the opening credits in No Child. Right now, when we did the screening, they were just standard.
Right.
And I understand they're going to be animated.
Right.
Explain that to us.
So instead of just the normal Claudio playing Hemingway in letters, there's going to be a cartoon character of the character from the film. That character will do a little show, walk across the screen, and then the name will appear.
Ah, interesting. Because I understand that's an art form unto itself, and you guys are working with some award-winning creator there.
Absolutely. We got a phenomenal animator, Jamie Andrews, who's just incredibly talented, and I've seen almost the final piece, but even her rough draft initially blew me away.
Really?
You know, I told her when she showed it to me, I said, hey, if you would have told me this is the final, final piece, I would have been
really impressed.
Absolutely. And she was like, "No, this is just something I could do in a small amount of time, just to show you the outline." And I was like, "Wow, I can't imagine what you're capable of."
Incredible. Well, this should work as a good calling card for her as well. And, of course, we also have a master musician that wrote the movie soundtrack, Stephen Grove, who's been on the show. So you can actually look up a podcast to hear him talk. And his music's extraordinary. And him and I are hoping to collaborate on some future projects as well. Anything else you want to catch us up on in particular, or give us some contact information for anybody wanting to find out about the film before we go to another one of Ronnie Brown's tunes?
Well, I kind of wanted to go back to you. Was there anything you wanted to add about, you know, playing Hemingway and your experience with that?
I guess the best thing I could add there is one of the reasons when Rob Underhill first approached me about it, he wanted somebody that could portray the character authentically, and I think he was basing it somewhat on the fact that Hemingway was a man of the sea and also a man that loved Africa. Of course, I was raised in Africa, and I'm definitely a man of the sea. Spent a decade of my life as a chef on a lot of private yachts for the rich and famous and some infamous types. And I can sort of understand that salty demeanor that composed a character like Hemingway. And being a writer myself, I could truly relate to all those aspects. So when I wrote my monologue for the Hemingway character, I wanted to be sure to do that justice, as well as not just bring a regular character to the screen, but to bring a legend to the screen. So the way I invested myself in the character really sort of comes out more in the monologue than anything I could say. But I think from the impression I'm getting, the monologue hit the mark.
Oh yeah, I have to say it was very spot on.
Thank you. And that's good to know. And I'm actually thinking, ever since writing that particular monologue, I've been thinking about writing some more things in that style, because I felt really comfortable in the way that Hemingway aspect evolved. So I may be creating my own kind of Hemingway character. It won't be Ernest Hemingway as such, but sort of playing on that salty disposition of someone like that, and creating some more monologues to that end. But I'm also working on my own novel. It's a novel of short stories that actually Ray Bradbury gave his blessings to. I sent him some copy just for his opinion on some of it, because he's been a great inspiration in my life, and we were pen pals for about 10 years before he died. And so I'm hoping to publish that at some point as an e-book. I have no idea how that marketplace works, so I need an education on it. And there's actually a fellow by the name of Drew Becker coming on my show on the 18th that's going to explain how that works, because he's in the business of it, so... As a matter of fact, you'll be here, and I'm sure you'll be interested as an author yourself in finding out how new modern technology deals with the writer.
Oh yeah, it's just incredible how, you know, in today's times there's so many ways to get your work out there for people to see. You know, as far as books, music,
right,
and everything, for artists to be able to share their work. And
the danger and what I'm learning that I have to be careful about is how easy it has become for people to pirate your work. So
right,
that a lot of people will get it for free and you won't benefit by what your fruits truly deserve. And I want to look more into that, because I said even albums, you know, are selling in the millions, but not necessarily legally.
Mm-hmm.
So what does one do about that? How do you get your reward out of something you create when that sort of thing is going on? It's a new world.
It is, Claudio, and this electronic world with MP3s and flash drives, it's changed the whole equation.
Yeah.
In the world of music and recording and radio, we're in another world.
We are, and I've downloaded an album onto TuneCore to promote to other, I think it's 90 different venues worldwide, things like iTunes and Amazon and so on, and I have not yet explored how well that marketplace is doing. I'm not doing anything in additional to promote the album, and I probably should, but I've just sort of wanted to see how much it moves on its own, and so far the sales have been minimal. I'm not sure of what wagons you got to jump onto to see to it that sales kick in.
Ronnie here, playing the banjo, I'm sure has experienced all sorts of changes in the way the music is recorded compared to the way it was when you first started recording music.
Oh, Ronnie, it's much different. You know, use computers in the recording, and you can do so much with that. You can take a note from one place and put it in another place, and it's just wild what
you
can do.
It is pretty incredible.
Yes.
What do you think of all the changes, the new dynamic as far as selling your material?
Well, I don't know. It seems like it's hard to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's almost like I don't even know what an agent is anymore in that regard. You know, how do they really protect you and make sure that you get what you deserve? If anybody wants to speak to that, please call me. I'd love to have you on the Speakeasy. I need the education. We're going to bounce over to another Ronnie Brown tune. And Ronnie, what's this one called?
Willow Creek Dam.
Willow Creek Dam. Is this one of your originals?
No.
No. Okay.
In the big pine woods on Willow Creek Mountain is where I was raised to be a man. And it seems all the good things most fun in my memory are tied to that Willow Creek land. The big dozer rumbles on Willow Creek Mountain. The saw steals the life from the trees. The water is rising on Willow Creek Mountain from the dam that they said had to be. So damn the man who dams up the river, and damn the man who drowned the life I've known. Damn the world, it's so ever-changing. Boy, drop me off my Willow Creek home. Known. When the cold water covers Willow Creek Mountain, her beauty will fade with the land. The world won't remember Willow Creek Mountain, nor the price paid for progress of man. So damn the man who dams up the river, and damn the man who drowned the life I've known. The world is so ever-changing, boy, drop me off my Willow Creek home. Boy, drop me off my Willow Creek home. Yeah, drop me off my Willow Creek home.
103.5 WCOM. That was Ronnie Brown. I'd like to tell you that your host Claudio is available as a poet with a one-man band for house concerts, performing original and traditional literary readings. Claudio is well known as a classical poet and a master storyteller. His website is claudioarts.com.
And to have our moment of radio theater, unless I want to get myself scolded, I just wanted to present to you a recording I did many moons ago called Midnight Walker, very much inspired by Edgar Allan Poe.
Midnight Walker. Wandering through deserted streets, at a time when only darkness meets, with long coat, dark hat, and walking stick he strolls, as silently and mysteriously the midnight hour rolls. Silhouetted in dark corridors, as he walks upon their creaking floors, wandering through dark condemnation, he hideously seeks his inspiration. To the people of the village his face be not known, he dwells secluded and alone. Far upon a hillside lonely, there dwells he, and he the only. Ere the clock strikes four, he stands by the door. He unlocks it and ventures inside, as again from the day he must hide. He is a man of no charm, yet he does no one harm. Due to rumors of the village, three men follow his path. Due to rumors of the village, the three men seek wrath. The old man lights a candle before resting his head. He reads from the Bible as he lays upon his bed. A scent of fire causes the old man to rise. As he opens the door, he's attacked by surprise. As two held him fast, the third stabbed with a dagger. They then laughed bitterly as they watched the man stagger. The three men went inside. The old man lay and died. They noticed the Bible upon the man's bed. "Fools we have been," one man bitterly said. "'Tis too late," said the third. "The old man is dead." A strong wind blew shut the door of the hut. The candle fell upon the bed. "The door is stuck," the second man said. Windows there were none as to keep out the sun. The flames were strong, the wood burned well, and of the old man's murder none lived to tell. The hut burned to ashes. The murderers were dead. The Bible lay open next to the old man's bed. It read, "Thou shalt not kill." The four corpses lay still. Three of them fools and one carried God's will. Due to rumors of the village, three men followed his path. Due to rumors of the village, the three men found God's wrath. The old man lit a candle before resting his head. He read from the Bible as he lay upon his bed. Who shall now pray for the fools that are dead?
Would it be crazy if you packed your bags and left? For a week, a month, a year. What if you left for 2 years? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about? To teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself? Would that be crazy? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Now back to Claudio.
And once again, I'm going to point the mic back at Rocco. I want to get some more WCOM history and just want to acknowledge some of the early people that helped make things happen, as well as give particular acknowledgement to co-hosts that I've had the pleasure of working with. The first one was John Paul McClellan. There was also Audrey Layden, and then came Rocco.
Well, in the early days, Claudio, the people that put the station together and built the station and had the most input and were doing the most work were definitely Jacques Menache.
No doubt.
And Ruffin Slater, and Peg Nolan, and Chris Frank.
Yes.
Before there was Bob Burtman or Fred Wasser or myself, there was Jacques Menache, Ruffin Slater, Peg Nolan, and then Chris Frank.
These are the people that had the vision for it.
They're the ones that really built the station in the beginning. And at that first meeting we had, which was a meeting that took place maybe almost 2 years before we went on the air. Bob was there, Fred was there, I was there. A couple others were there that came on board later. Mm-hmm. Melva Oakham, Solomon Gibson III, maybe one or two others, but they came on later. But before that meeting, which I think was in April of 2003,
mm-hmm.
Ruffin and Jacques and Peg were physically building the station, and also a year before they started building it, they had applied for the license to get the license to enable WCOM to become a station.
Amazing. And this is now the third location for the station, right?
It is. And Jacques Menache, as you know, started the Art Center, where we're broadcasting
right now. I had actually forgotten that part.
And yeah. Ruffin and Peg, Ruffin started the Weaver Street Market.
Right.
And Peg, also very involved with the station, Weaver Street, and they're the ones that had the vision and the concept to put this station together and get it on the air. And they were very, very active the first 5 years. And then they felt that the station's going to have to stand on its own eventually, and they were slowly letting other people move into it to manage it and have a board of directors, and this is what's happened over the last 10 years. Chris Frank was our first station manager, and we didn't have a station manager for maybe the first 8 or 9 months, maybe a year. And then Chris Frank, who had worked so hard and is still part of this station. I was talking to Chris last week, and Chris is in the Red Clay Ramblers, as you know.
Right.
And is a first-class musician.
No doubt.
He can really play a number of instruments. That little promo that I play once in a while on this show and on my show is his daughter, Molly.
Oh, Frank. I know. The cutest voice.
I'll have to play it before we go off the air.
Yes.
It's a terrific little ID for WCOM, and it's Molly, who's now, I believe, a freshman or sophomore at UNC.
But no longer that little voice, yes.
She was a 10-year-old girl.
That's amazing.
And that was Chris's daughter, and he recorded that when she was a little girl,
it's
and
one
he
of
was
most,
a station manager.
One of the most endearing little ads I've ever heard. It's beautiful.
It's really terrific. I'll play it before we get off in the next
good.
10 minutes
good,
or
good,
so.
Good.
So they're the real pioneers of WCOM, and they're still a part of this station.
Right.
Peg Nolan will call me once in a while when she's listening to the music hall show on Saturday. And these folks used to be coming in all the time the first year or two. They were with us when we were on the air. But, of course, everybody has day jobs and has to make a living. And the station started that way, though.
The most amazing thing is that these people managed to accomplish what is – literally, and I don't mean to minimize anything by saying it this way, but literally developed a cult following. There is the station has many, many listeners, and many, many, when I say cult following, I really want to point to the loyalty aspect of that, loyal listeners.
I have the utmost respect for Jacques and Ruffin and Peg and Chris, because they worked so hard. And then there are others that were working with them to do any number of things. We have a little poster in our regular part of the studio where people can come in, and it's a plaque that has the WCOM originals, and there's maybe 30 names on
that
poster.
I saw
that. And every one of those people contributed immensely to get this station on the air and keep it going.
And once again, if anybody wants to give support to that, please go to the Hickory Tavern from 5 to 10 on Thursday.
Also, in the works, Bob Burtman, who is still part of this station and has a show on Tuesday evenings, I believe, from 7 until 10, is starting another low-powered station up in Hillsboro.
Oh, my goodness, so that's happening. I'd heard rumors about
that. That is happening.
Yeah.
And Bob is going to start another low-powered station, and it will be very possible for us to network. For
that's
example,
great. I like that.
This show could be picked up and piped into the station in Hillsboro.
Absolutely.
And the Hillsboro listeners could hear it on their station.
Would love that.
So through networking, these low-powered stations have a future that no one knows what it could lead to.
And the beauty of these low-powered stations, and they have a worldwide audience, is that we are not giving you corporate speak. We're giving you the real deal. This is where you hear freedom of communication exercised to its full authority.
Absolutely. So WCOM, as I said, is really just getting started.
In many respects, yeah.
It is.
But
and will be unrecognizable down the road. I was talking on the phone to Kat Devine, another person
very
who
good
has
supporter.
Spent
yes.
12 years. I think Kat was at that very first meeting. She's probably listening now.
I would say so. Hello, Kat.
and she's been with this station from the very beginning. When I first went on the air, the first time, 10 years ago in January, Kat was listening and called me, and she just gave a lot of support to that first show because I hadn't been on the air in 38 or 39 years.
Goodness.
I had left commercial radio.
You once did it for a living, yes.
I did. And I left commercial radio, and when I went on the air here, I hadn't been on the air in 39 years. And I told him, I said, look, if you don't like what you hear, just let me know, and that's it. Goodbye. That's fine. I understand.
And would you say
and that was 10 years ago.
Would you say it was like riding a bicycle coming back? I don't think it's quite that easy, was
not,
it?
Not quite that easy, but
no.
Well, I'm still here.
Hey.
And I did 521, whatever it was last Saturday.
I'm very honored to have you here with me. I feel like I've reaped the best of the best here.
You're very kind, Claudio.
Let's get some contact information very quickly from you, Will. Anybody that's interested in finding out about No Child, where can they go to get information?
You can find updates on Facebook. Just search for No Child, and we have a page for the film. You can also find updates at Rob Underhill Productions. And also, if you'd like to contact me, you can go on Facebook and just search for Will Williams. Or you can send me an email. My email address is whw7792@gmail.com.
Easy enough. And I know Rob Underhill actually downloaded one of the speakeasy shows that he filmed when we were talking about No Child, when it was still in when we were still creating it, basically. And you can find that on Facebook as well. He's got a speakeasy program that where you can watch it visually, a one-hour show. So do find it there. And I want to go to you as well, Ron Brown, in case any folks that are out there listening want to acquire the album. How do they do that?
Okay, you can call me, 919-258-6813. Or 919-721-6762.
Do you have any email preference as well?
Yes, you can email me toolanddie@windstream.net.
Good enough, because I'm sure there's going to be somebody out there that wants to catch some of that good old bluegrass coming from you. That's good stuff, brother.
Thank you.
And we're going to play one more of your tunes on the way out. What is the name of this song? I think it's number one on the album.
Let's see, we're going.
I think it's going to be number two on the album because we had already played that first one.
That's right, never mind.
Number two, Redwood Hill.
There we go. Ronnie Brown. And once again, that was our very own Ronnie Brown, kicking it bluegrass style. Thank you, Ronnie, for being in the studio. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Rocco, for the usual. And thank you, folks, for tuning us in. Until next time, this is Claudio signing off. Cheers.